Market View on Money FM 89.3.
And just like that, sentiment seems to have soured this week with the Straits Times Index back in the red this Thursday and markets continuing to take a step back. And it's of worrisome words of warning, that is, from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell overnight, saying that the things could still get worse. And that sent shockwaves across the world, compounded by a seeming reignition of U.S.-China trade tensions and overall diplomatic relations. Well, today on Market View, here on Money FM 89.3, we're joined once again by Mr. Stephen Innes, the Chief Market Strategist for Axie Trader and Axie Corp. And he joins us all the way from Bangkok, Thailand today to share his thoughts on what transpired in the last 24 hours. Mr. Innes, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear that you are in good health and in good spirits, and also to hear that Bangkok is starting to slowly loosen the lockdown measures out there. Welcome back to the show. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, JP. I'm very much looking forward to getting back on the golf course.
Well, before we get to that, Mr. Innes, we have to talk about a lot of the things that happened over the last 24 hours. You know, we've seen a sudden resurgence in diplomatic tensions. In fact, President Trump recently tweeted saying that 100 trade deals will not make up for the pandemic, which he seems to be blaming on China. We had those words of warning and caution from Fed Chair Jerome Powell overnight also. There is the loss of human life, an economic downturn that threatens to turn to a depression. Well, how much worse can things get for markets who are trying to get a grip of themselves, especially after the recent days of selling off?
You know, I don't think they're going to get worse. I mean, I think the built-in factor right now is that everybody is pretty much bottomed out right now. And we're just almost immune to the negative data that comes out. That's my feeling, is that, you know, it's just a bit of time and inflection point here where we're going to have to see how we emerge from lockdowns and then judge how the economy is recovering. That's the time where we can actually gauge to the extent of what extent the extraordinary levels of fiscal policy measures and central bank largesse are having on the recovery. Not necessarily before that, we have to wait. But, you know, getting back to this trade war spat, I think this is just going to be an ongoing issue. I clearly see here that President Trump using tariffs as leverage against China at every angle here. But I really don't think it's going to elicit a significant response from China as far as weakening the yuan. That's the big fear factor in the global markets right now. If they remove that counter-cyclical mechanism that keeps the yuan rather balanced, if they start to ratchet up trade war via the currency, that'll be quite a warning signal for risk markets. And that's something I don't think either side wants to go down. And I don't think that China's prepared to do that, because their ambitions really are to generate inflows, especially capital inflows, to support the capital markets infrastructure, not necessarily send money to other parts of the world. So I think they're equally as motivated to keep the yuan stable.
All right. Let's take a closer look at the recent comments from Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell overnight. Apart from warning that the worst might still be to come for the world's largest economy, and that additional fiscal stimulus might be needed, he also shot down the idea of negative rates in the United States. Now, a number of some of the strategists, actually, JP Morgan, said that, you know what, if there were slightly negative rates in the US for a short time, it's not that bad of an idea. But looking at how negative rates have worked in other major economies in the world, do you think this has worked at all? And is this a good or a bad idea? Are there any risks we might need? Not aware of with regards to negative rates if the Fed decides to do that in the future?
You know, the negative rates haven't really driven inflation higher anywhere, and they haven't really created significant velocity for monies in any other country that's gone into the so-called NIRP levels. The U.S. is a different kettle of fish, though, because it's the Federal Reserve Board, and it has pretty sizable footprint. My view on the negative rates themselves, I think it's something that they can keep as an ace in the hole. We've got a lot of people suggesting that Chair Powell nipped negative rates in the bud somehow by reducing the chance of the Fed joining the sub-zero team. But of course, from a trader's perspective, we know that Powell can say whatever he wants. Repeat evidence shows that Fed guidance expires worthless in about a week or so. And what we have to really focus on is what the S&P 500 is doing, what the near-term three-month LIBOR futures, those are the implied U.S. interest rates futures, are doing, and of course the key two-year note for the Fed direction. My view is that given that negative rates continue to resonate throughout the sort of the psyche of the markets right now, and despite the fact that Fed members continue to push back, markets are still going to have to price in that possibility. So that'll keep interest rates depressed, which, you know, the Fed loves. This is great. This is something that they don't mind at all without having to move in there, provided the market pricing, is making those rates accommodative. But here's the thing. Given the Fed's never-ending desire to sort of ratify market expectations, I wouldn't think that negative rates are completely out of the question. The market's going to test it. What I mean by that, the market's going to continue pushing on the options markets, on the futures markets, to sort of influence the Fed's decision. Perhaps not in June, but when we get to September, I think that's a real option. If the markets haven't started to, you know, fire on at least two or three cylinders, I think we'll continue to see pressure put on U.S. interest rates via the futures options and also the stock markets that'll be beckoning for further rate cuts from the Feds.
We're still speaking to Mr. Stephen Innes, the chief market strategist at Axie Corp here on Money FM 89.3. Mr. Innes, I've spoken to a handful of CIOs and also equity analysts recently, and they have raised the worry about moral hazards from both unlimited quantitative easing and also these low interest rates, meaning that it could be encouraging a lot of risky behavior in the markets, which could be distorting pricing and also market mechanisms. If the Federal Reserve does not unwind this suddenly big balance sheet that could very most likely expand even further, what is the worst that could happen to markets if they retain their balance sheet at these levels? Or can they just let these debts that they're buying and this QE that they're buying just stay on the balance sheet and let it expire without anything happen to the markets? What's the worst that could happen based on your estimates?
I think they have to stay with the QE. I don't see any significant moral hazards. I see a moral hazard of them pulling off, given the fact that it'll send markets tanking, especially the stock markets. We have to really look at things in general here. People's 401ks or whatever retirement plans that people have around the world are very much dependent on stock market performance. If the Fed wasn't there to cover Main Street's back, then there would be a big issue, right? So I think this whole QE is built around protecting not Wall Street, it's protecting investors. This is why the Feds have cut rates. This is why the Feds continue to go move into QE. And obviously, this is the reason why they've, you know, got credit markets under their guise right now, because they want to ensure that people's lifelong savings are held in check and they're not going to evaporate as quickly as we've seen global GDP evaporate over the past 2 months.
Area that might be causing a bit of concern or hope, depending on how you look at it, right, Mr. Innes, is there's been noted that there's a few markets in Southeast Asia that saw a sudden uptick in equity accounts being opened. The SGX reported record new retail accounts being created in the first quarter. In the Philippines, they saw more people coming into the markets to try their luck at these levels because of the lockdowns. People are bored, people are worried. They say, hey, maybe this might be a good time to come in and try to make some money here, because where else are we going to do that? But some say that if you suddenly see an influx of retail investors and unsophisticated ones potentially also, this could be a sign of worry in the markets at the moment. What are your thoughts on this? And if there are any reasons to be worried about the sudden influx of people coming to the markets to try and test their luck at these valuations during these uncertain times, is there something that we might be worried about if people are rushing in too soon?
Yeah, I think there always is. We call it the Robin Hood effect because of that app that allows so many people to trade equity markets all of a sudden. And it's a bit worrisome. The reason being is that savvy investors can play weak hands. So when the market's looking weak, we can see high-frequency funds sell quick. And that'll spook a lot of the new retail investors to bail out of positions. Or the fundamental issue that a lot of retail investors do is they over-leverage those positions. So they'll be buying stocks on multiple leverage accounts. And that's a problem because that can quickly evaporate. A lot of unsophisticated investors do not have very, very strong risk management protocols in place. And they just constantly over leveraged, and that's the problem. So this is where a lot of money can get lost on the table. Overall, I don't think it's going to be a significant impact on the downswing of the market. It's still pretty much dominated by the big colossal perma bears and perma bids. That's really where the fight's going on right now. We've got Wall Street in general is quite bearish. You're looking at Goldman Sachs comes in, week out, warning everybody of doom and gloom. And then on the other hand, you've got the perma bids in the market, the big pension funds in the world that say, you know, they're making 20-year investment horizons. They think today is a good level to buy, but they seem to think that way every day. And they could be right. I mean, you look back 20 years from now, and I would guarantee stock markets are going to look multiple times higher than they do today. So those decisions, whether they're timed to perfection, it's irrelevant. They're just going in and buying high-valued stocks where they see an opportunity, and that's mostly in the tech sector right now.
And finally, Mr. Ittes, before we let you go, there is a concern now because of the recent losses that this could be the end of the bear market rally and another leg down. In fact, some of Wall Street's most notable investors have started to sound this out. Valuations seem to be a bit disconnected by the estimates of some of these veteran investors. However, President Trump also warning that maybe these folks might be doing this so they can calm markets and come in at better positions, or perhaps they're just trying to influence market sentiment at the moment to their benefit. Taking all of that into account, do you think that this could be the start of another leg down as a strategist?
I hope not. I really hope not. Simply because there's a lot of people's investments at hand. I really don't try to argue markets down. I always try to talk markets up. But you have to take caution when, you know, people like Stanley Druckenmiller come out and issue some warnings. But these aren't warnings that we don't know. We know that the market's running on multiples well beyond where it should be from a fundamental perspective. Like 21 times market cap, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But you know, the amount of stimulus in the market right now is just extraordinary. And this suggests that once things start to turn around, people start returning to work, the economy starts to pick up, there's going to be an incredible tailwind. It's going to provide a huge inflationary impact towards just about every nook and cranny of virtually every asset known to mankind. And this is what we have to look for. And I think this is what stocks are mapping to right now. Stocks are not mapping to what's happening between now and 3 months. Stocks are mapping to what's happening 1 and 2 years down the road. And I think the amount of stimulus is papering over a lot of the cracks in the markets right now. And I think that's why investors are continuing to buy on dips.
Mr. Stephen Ennis, the Chief Market Strategist for Axie Corp. Thank you so much for joining us today on Market View here on Money FM 89.3. I wish you and your family continued health and good fortune during these times, and all the best as Thailand slowly but surely eases their lockdown measures out there. Have a great afternoon, sir.
Thanks, JP. Talk to you soon.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.